The AutJet Business Show is your gateway to expert business advice and real-world success stories. Each week, a different leader in the business world will share their tips, insights, and lessons, offering you practical advice to navigate your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you have a business idea or are just starting out or looking to elevate your existing business, the AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Ensure you get these transformative conversations live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at highfm.com. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome, welcome. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and it's that time of the week again. It's Thursday night, and tonight on the show, we've got Jeff Solomon. He's the managing partner of Performance Improvement Africa, and he's going to talk us through and tell us what he does to help business improve themselves. He's got decades of experience in business, technology, and the performance improvement that he does and helps other companies achieve. Jeff's career journey is a fascinating one. He began actually in the polymer and plastics industry before moving into the world of IT during the early days of the personal computer revolution in South Africa. Over the years, he's worked across product management, finance, marketing, and business development, helping companies navigate growth during some of the country's most transformative business periods. After spending some time with DataTech, Jeff founded his own consulting business focused on helping growing companies improve performance, streamline processes, and helping them to adapt to the rapid world of change. Today, his work has evolved even into the AI space, where he helps businesses become faster, smarter, and more efficient using some modern AI-driven solutions. What makes Jeff especially interesting is not just his technical and business expertise, but his deep understanding on how to grow a business, the challenges they face, and the practical lessons entrepreneurs can apply in the real world. So tonight we'll be talking about business growth, leadership, technology, AI, and the lessons Jeff has learned from decades of helping other companies evolve and succeed. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
It's great to have you here. And just before we get to the interview, I just want to get to our little business story of the week, or the business lesson of the week. And as the listeners will know, every week I share a little bit of a business lesson, and I'm going through the series from our book, Life on the Run, and we're actually on Chapter 8. And it links to the discussion we're going to have, because Chapter 8 says, always be open to learning something new. And the subtitle of that is, get a mentor and stand on the shoulders of giants. And what that means is you can do things yourself, but it's always great to have somebody tell you what has worked before and what hasn't. Even when the world is changing, there's still lessons that we can learn from others. And getting a mentor in your business is standing on a shoulder of giant, because what that allows you to do is to see much further into the future that you could if you were just standing on your own. And it gets you a further view and input that you might not have had. And there's a lovely Talmudic saying that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. And I have a sense that tonight you're going to be the teacher for us. And I hope that the listeners in their businesses are ready for the lessons. So that's our business lesson for tonight.
Thank you.
And Jeff, just before we get into what you're doing today and how you help businesses today, just take us back a little bit in your own personal business history. Where did you start in business, and how did you progress?
Well, my father was involved in the pharmaceutical manufacturing business, and my mother was involved in bookkeeping. That gave me an early window into how business works, how products are made, how work gets done, how processes are managed, and how important finance discipline is in keeping a business healthy. These early influences shaped my interest in how people, technology, process, and discipline come together to produce results. Sport has always played a major role in my life. Over the years, I've run ultra marathons, including Comrades and Two Oceans. I've cycled events such as the Cape Argus and Ride Johannesburg. This year, I hope to complete my 20th Ride Johannesburg. Endurance sports teaches discipline, participation, preparation, rhythm, management, reliance, and consistency. You don't complete a Comrades marathon or a long cycling event by chance. You need a goal, a plan, regular training, feedback, and the ability to keep going when bad times become difficult. Scaling is a business that is very similar. In sport, performance is built over time. You cannot rely on your enthusiasm only. You need training, structure, habits, feedback, and recovery. In business, growth needs to be trained for. A business that grows without structure can become chaotic. A business that grows with discipline can become stronger. This is why I connect endurance sport to organizational scaling. Both require sustainable performance, not short bursts of effort.
So if I ask you the question, you go into a company today. So first of all, what is your business called?
Performance Improvement Africa.
Okay, so it's to help businesses improve. So just tell me, what does the business do? What is your purpose? Why would somebody phone you and say, Jeff, come and help me in my business?
Most times I get called in because they are having some form of growing pains. Now, growing pains in their own right is not bad. It's just an indication that the business has outgrown its existing infrastructure. And so they're looking for a solution to be able to continually grow the business without having difficulties in actually delivering the goods.
So you were telling me earlier when we were chatting just before this interview, you were saying it's often the person, the founder of the business, would call you in because they're changing the role. And so what are they hoping to gain from you? Are they trying to get this, as you were talking now about the discipline, are they trying to install some kind of discipline or systems into the business?
Well, the general issue is they either have a problem with delivery or they have a problem with revenue generation. And normally I get involved with helping them solve the immediate problem. But it becomes very clear that most of these businesses have a series of growing pains that they're experiencing. As the business is growing, it's becoming harder to manage. People work hard, but things start to fall between the cracks. The founder becomes the bottleneck. Mm. Communications become unclear. Processes are informal. Rules are blurred. Cash flow become under pressure. And customers may experience inconsistent service. And so these are just some of the growing pains that we see in organizations, and we help build the infrastructure to deal with those particular problems. So where we really start is making the business visible. Because without seeing the parts of the business, you can't manage them.
Mm. When you say making the business visible, visible to who?
Visible to the owner, visible to the employees. So how do we actually deliver services or goods to customers consistently?
So there's a saying that I've heard before that people say you must work on your business, not in your business. And what I'm hearing you say is that people are working in their business. They're so busy doing what they're doing that they don't often see the big picture. So is this what you're showing them, what the whole structure in the business looks like?
So growing pains happen when the business becomes more complex. What worked when the business was small no longer is working. And there are more people, more customers, more decisions, and more pressures. And the founder can't deal with all of those on his own. He can't make all the decisions, and he can't be everywhere at the same time. So the shift that's required is that the owner structures himself to be a leader of a team of people who are competent to run the business without him. Perhaps he does need to be there for the big decisions, and perhaps he does have influence with his larger customers who've been with him for some time, but in essence, that business has got to learn to run on its own. It's probably the most difficult thing for the founder to do, is to make this quantum shift. He's grown up, he's been involved in the day-to-day business, his span of control has been fairly easy, but as the business grows, we bring more people on board, the span of control becomes more difficult, and you have to have a more formal structure to keep the business moving forward.
So are you like a coach where you go in and you have a session with him, or do you get physically involved in the business? Do you help do things in the business rather than just coaching the owner?
Yes, so what we really do is we understand how the business should be working, and then we start to build the infrastructure. Now, it's difficult if you're a founder and you're growing and managing the business to be involved with actually restructuring it as we go along. So we get involved in the actual execution, and we make sure that the processes are being defined, the roles and responsibilities are being defined, that the staff are being skilled up and making sure that the business moves at a better tempo, under more control, more evenly.
So you come in and you're creating the structure under which the business works. And I was looking at your website earlier, and you were talking about three main areas, which are operational excellence, revenue growth strategy, and people development. And I'd like to ask you the work and what you do under each of those, but we'll do that after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show on 101.9 High FM. And we're busy talking to Jeff Solomon, and he's the managing partner of Performance Improvement Africa. And he's telling us how he goes into businesses and not only coaches them, but actually gets involved in creating the structure for a growing business. And he mentioned quite a few times growing pains. And it sounds like a bad thing, but it's actually, if you've got growing pains, the good message is it means that you actually are growing. And often it's this person who gets you to the point of where you're going to go to the next level struggles with, they, the person who's created it, but they struggle with creating the structure that's needed to go to the next phase. So if we have a look, and just before the break, I mentioned we're going to look at three areas of operational excellence, revenue growth strategy, and people development. So Jeff, just to start off with, when people talk about operational excellence, you say that this is the cornerstone of a successful business. What is operational excellence, and why do you say it's the cornerstone?
Operational excellence is always about delivering consistent value to the customers. And the consistent value is generated by following a rather simple process of people doing the right things at the right time and ensuring that there is a good rhythm in the business and that they understand what the purpose of the business is and are striving to help the founder actually achieve that purpose.
So do you go in and train the staff on this, or do you put things in place that people now have to follow certain rules and regulations as they're going through things?
Generally what we do is we go in and we put in process. So we work with the existing staff, we understand what they are actually doing, we decide whether this is a good way to continue or should we choose another route to get to the value delivery, and we set this all out on a paper. We define what the roles and responsibilities of each person is, and we make sure that they understand that and actually execute the process systematically every day. Of course, that now takes us to measurement, and we need to measure things, and we obviously then put in systems to measure the performance of the people and the performance of the business, and then we can see from there where there are cracks and where things need to be shored up and how we can make the flow as smooth as possible.
So when you say the measurement, are these, do you put in place different ratios? Do you put in place formal dashboards that they use? How do you do that?
Well, it could be at the basic level, a checklist, just making sure that everything gets done every single time. Then it could be some sort of key performance indicator that we measure, and we can see how consistent we are with actually what we're doing in the business. We use different types of tools to measure different kinds of things. But once, of course, everything is visible in the process and we can see it, then it becomes a whole lot easier to manage.
Okay, so you're really creating the visibility and then you start managing that.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes.
And then you talk about the next thing is the revenue growth strategy. And it says it's essential for financial stability to be in your business. What do you do in that regard?
There was a sort of a myth many years ago that people were born marketers or born salespeople. But we've proved time and time again that you can build marketing and you can build sales in your business. You need to understand the processes, you need to put them into practice, and you need to have the right people to run those different disciplines. But revenue is such an important element in the business. Profit's not a bad word. Profit just enables us to grow the business, train the people, move the business forward. And so we have to make sure in these businesses that we have a good balance of revenue coming in and that meets the capability and the infrastructure to deliver the value to the clients.
Okay. And then the people development, you say that you assess the workforce and you also develop high-performing people. How do you go about taking somebody and ensuring that they're high-performing employee?
Well, I think the most important thing for every founder is to put the right person in the right job at the right time. And once we understand how we actually are delivering the value and what type of people we are looking for, we then are able to match the requirements of the business with the capabilities of the individuals who we are putting into those roles. And not everyone works well in every single role. So some people are much better at organizing, some people are much better at creating and conceptualizing, and some people are much better at networking and engaging with people. So we've always got to make sure that we have the right balance and the right capacity of the people within the organization.
So if you've got somebody, you go into a company and you're helping them out, is there a test that you put these people through?
Yeah.
What does the testing entail?
So we have a little assessment. It's just really people go online and they complete the assessment. And we begin to understand how the people are wired. And once we understand how they're wired, we can line them up with the right particular roles. Or in some cases, we find that we've got the wrong people in the role and we have to move them out and find other positions that they're more suited to be able to do. But if you're wired correctly and you're doing what you're wired for, you probably perform much better, you're happier, you get more satisfaction out of your job, and these all help to raise the morale of the business.
So you're almost creating a win-win situation, a win for the company and a win for the person. They're doing what they want to do, and it's benefiting the company.
The people are the company at the end of the day. Mm. The processes and the procedures and all of those things is just how work gets done. But you've got to have the right people in the right job. And most successful businesses have kind of licked that challenge. Mm.
So if I take you, and I'm going to ask you more around a practical example, you can look at one of the companies you work for. You don't have to mention any names. Mm-hmm. But if you're a business owner and they're looking at their business and they're going through, as you say, these growing pains that they've done their stuff, but they haven't really put procedures into place, just take us through a couple of things maybe. What should that owner themselves do initially? And if you can take us through then after that an example of what you do on a practical basis by assisting them.
Well, generally where we start is with process. So the most important process in any organization is how value gets delivered. So it kind of starts off with a conception of a product or a service. We design the product, we design the service, we market it, we go out and sell it, we look for customers who have a need. And then we actually have to deliver it and support it or service it, depending on what the product or the service is. It pretty sounds simple in your head when you think about it, but when you start to put it out on a piece of paper and start to ask the questions about how we should be delivering this or how we should be designing these things, you start to see the deeper level of what needs to be done to make the value delivery smoother. So it normally starts off with really defining the value chain. And once we define the value chain, then we start to deal with the process that needs to be put in place to deliver that value chain. And we go through the various levels of the process all the way down to what we call a work breakdown structure. where we actually have everyone's roles and responsibilities clearly defined, their KPIs defined. We have the checklists in place, and we get to make sure that the business runs like a clockwork every single day, runs smoothly without too much interference.
So how do you practically go about doing that? Because you stepping in to a business that you might not know how it really operates, and now you busy putting the key performance indicators in place and the checklist for somebody doing a job that you might never have seen before. How do you practically do that?
Well, every business, no matter what the business is, launches, sells, and delivers products. And so you start to decompose that high-level overview of the business to understand about the value delivery chain. So once we understand the value chain, we understand the things that we need to monitor and measure at a high level. So if we are selling widgets, we've got capacity for 30,000 and we are selling 40,000, how do we manage the difference between the 30 and the 40,000? And so this may require some overtime, or this may require a investment in another machine, and so we make sure that the value chain. But it goes further down the line, because the person who is operating the actual punching machine or providing the service or whatever it is needs to understand what they explicitly need to do and when they need to do that. And we take that level of understanding layer by layer down to the actual basic process that the individuals need to complete every single day.
So do you have a tool that does that, or do you go in and sit with the person and talk to them and talk to the customer and talk to the owner? How do you generate that value chain?
So initially, what we used to do was it was a pencil and paper exercise. We would sit round in a room, and we would discuss the processes. We would try and understand. But today, AI has played a very important role in that. And what we are able to do is to really grasp the basics of the business in terms of its value delivery. Once we've got that, we feed that into AI, and we actually start to get a process defined in a set of steps and in a visual image. And then we actually go and confirm that these processes are exactly what they are doing, or if not, what they should be doing, and how we need to adjust this particular process. This kind of accelerates the rate at which we can deliver these processes and make these things visible. What might have taken us 3 months to do now, we can actually get done in a week. So the AI tools just help us accelerate that fundamental process of understanding the value creation chain.
So you've mentioned this value chain quite a bit. Mm. I'm not sure if I understand exactly what it is. What is a value chain?
A value chain is the way we do work to deliver value to our clients. That value may be a service, or it may be a product. And that's kind of at the highest level. We launch products, we sell products, we deliver products. How do we deliver products? How do we deliver products? So we have to go now and break that down. How do we sell products? How do we make people aware of what we are actually doing in the marketplace? How do we generate sales? Is it? Do we need to go and call on them? Can we generate a lead out of a website? These are all things that we've got to decide and get right in the business. When we've got all of those pieces working smoothly, the business runs efficiently and effectively.
Great. So are you able to take us through a practical example of a company where maybe you can tell us where they were and what you put in place and how did each aspect work?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about a couple of projects I worked on. One example that I recall was a family-owned manufacturing and signage business with more than about 200 people involved. And the next generation of the family were entering the business. Revenue was growing and delivery was important. But the business lacked an integrated accounting and inventory process and systems. And so the growing pain was clear. The business had outgrown its existing systems. In their case, it was a manual system, and what we really did was design a digital system that would accelerate the ability for the business to deliver its products and services profitably. To scale sustainability, succession operations, financial control, and systems all had to mature together. And so we installed the software and the business kind of grew to the next level as a result of that intervention. Another example is a specialist protection business. This was a high trust, expert-led environment where the technical excellence was essential.
Can I just interrupt you for a second there?
Sure.
Because I want to hear about that, but I'm getting a sign from Craig saying we need to go to a break first, so we'll come back to the story just after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and together we're talking to Jeff Solomon. He's the managing partner of Performance Improvement Africa. And he's taking us through a few examples of businesses that he assisted. So, Jeff, sorry, I interrupted you as you were starting with the security business. Tell us about that.
So, this was a specialist protection services business. It's a high-trust, expert-led environment where technical excellence is essential. However, technical excellence alone is not enough to scale the business. The business needed clearer sales processes, better operational handover, stronger role clarity, disciplined proposal development, and a consistent follow-through from inquiry to deployment. The growing pain was that the expertise was present, but the business needed stronger processes and execution disciplines to convert that expertise into sustainable performance. The lesson is that expert businesses often need to move from individual capability to operational capability. And we bump that all the time. Founders are generally luminaries. They see the future. They got ideas about how they can deliver value in that particular space. But once that initial stage, which we call startup, is complete, the business has to take another shifting gear and move up and start to be able to run a little bit smoother. And so that's when we step in and we make sure that the processes and the procedures and the handovers are clearly defined and articulated physically and digitally.
Hmm. So if I can make an analogy, what's coming to mind is somebody who bakes fantastic cakes. They would go in the kitchen and they would just put a bushel of this and a bushel of that and they just taste it and put it together, which is okay when you're doing your own baking, but you've got to actually put the quantities down and how you do it and the sequence of things very clearly if you're going to pass this on to someone else to do.
Sure.
And am I correct in saying that's really what you do for the business? Because a person who's baking and puts a bit of this and a bit of that, every time it's slightly different, and sometimes they know how to do it, but they don't know how to explain how to do it. So you need somebody to come in and watch them do it and document exactly what they're doing. Is that what you do for businesses?
Absolutely. So we kind of make sure that the recipe is standard and that we can deliver the same cookies or the same cake every single time. That makes our customers happy. That ensures we understand our costs, we are driving a profitable business, and we understand the whole cycle that we're following on a day-to-day basis to keep the business growing and moving forward.
And if I can talk a little bit about you specifically, because I mean the listeners can't see you, but you've been in business for many, many years, and you're at a stage where a lot of people would have retired long ago, and you still going, and you seem to me very fit, and you seem extremely enthusiastic about what you're doing. What is it about you that keeps you going and keeps you enthusiastic about doing business where other people would have rather just stayed at home to play clavios or kaluki?
That's a very, very interesting question. Well, first of all, I'm passionate about what I do. I just love what I do, and I try and ensure that I can help as many people that I touch as best I possibly can. In the area that I'm involved in, I see lots of entrepreneurial businesses. I meet lots of founders, and each one of them wants to grow a business. And whatever we can do to help them grow that business is good. It's important. It's important that we're putting back into society what we've kind of enjoyed over the many, many, many years.
And if you look at back on you helping these different businesses and on your own businesses, can you think of a couple of things that are almost crucial for success? And can you think of a couple of things that if you see them in place, they're kind of warning signs of or danger signs that this company might not succeed? Can you think of a couple of those things just from your overall business experience?
So I think the first thing is the founder's challenge is from moving from being the center of the business to building an organization and a team. So when I go on and I find that there's no team and there's no rhythm and there's no clear process, these are the things that I start to see that give me indications that this business is kind of struggling. So my first task is to make things visible. We can't manage things unless we actually see them. And while in our minds we think that we've got the end-to-end story, when we actually document it and we put it out on a piece of paper, it's not quite as it seems. So just by asking a few fundamental questions about whether they have some process in place, what does the processes look like, do they have proper roles and responsibilities, do they have regular meetings, we can quickly determine where the actual potential breakdowns are going to be.
And in terms of you personally, I know you've got some grandkids, and your grandkids are about to go into the business world. Mm. What message would you give them about having a successful life, both business and personally? What does a successful life look like for you? And what would you tell them to do or not do to have that life?
Well, the first thing is to have purpose. Be very clear about what you want to do or what you want to become. Once you understand where you want to go, then you've got to plot out the road ahead. Do you need a qualification to do what you want to do? Where would you get skills development? How do you get into a particular industry? What's your journey going to look like on the way to success? And how do you measure that as you go along? How much time do you plan this journey to take? If it's getting an education, how long is that going to take? If you need technical skills, where do you go to find those skills? And so you've got to kind of plan your journey and then work the plan. And that's kind of always been my motto about plan the work and work the plan.
Fantastic. And I want to ask you just a couple more things, but again, we'll do it just after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. And we're busy talking to Jeff Solomon. And Jeff is talking about performance improvement. And Jeff, just towards the end, I just want to find out from you, what practical advice would you give to business founders?
So the first would be, do not ignore the growing pains. They're an indication that something needs to be done within your business. Do not assume that working harder will solve everything. Step back and ask, what has the business outgrown? Where is the founder still the bottleneck? What roles are unclear in the business? What processes are invisible? Where is the crash under pressure? Where's this breakdown happening under pressure? Is the customer experience inconsistent? These are the things that you actually have to ask. Then you've got to start building the systems, the rhythm, the disciplines that are required for the next stage of the business.
Fantastic. And I think that's very valuable advice about taking what you do automatically, like the analogy of baking the cake, and make it very visible to everyone so everyone knows what those exact processes are. And I wanted to go back and just summarize some of the key points that you made. And one of the key things that you said is you have to have purpose. And once you've found your purpose, you then got to map that purpose out. about how do you get there, what's the road, how long it's going to take, and what do you need to put in place to achieve what your purpose is.
Correct.
And then you said do not ignore the growing pains. If you're in a business and you're going through some pains, don't ignore it. Actually have a look at it and see what's creating that, and again, making things visible. And then the quote that you gave is you need to plan the work, but then work the plan. Because it's no use just analyzing something. Once you've analyzed it, you actually have to put it into place. And not everybody can do that, especially often not the founders. And that's why it's valuable to get somebody else in to see what you're doing and map what you're doing for you. So I think this has been some amazing advice from your years and years of being in business and helping other businesses. So thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And I also want to thank, and I often forget to thank Craig. So Craig, thank you so much for managing the show behind the scenes. He really does. I'm David Zeidel, and this has been the Orchard Business Show.